The word today is forgiveness. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. We often make mistakes in our everyday relationships, and it's important to say, I'm sorry. Some people forgive easily, while others are slow to forgive. Why is that? Here from our archives to stress the importance of this topic is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Forgiveness.
We're going to be discussing in our time together today a very important word. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most important words that you can ever imagine. It is the word forgiveness, forgiveness. You know, that word, as a matter of fact, everything it involves is our salvation, our eternal life with God in heaven. If it weren't for forgiveness, there would be no hope. And so this word forgiveness is the focus of the opening of St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Colossae. As a matter of fact, if you want to follow along, get your Bibles out and turn to the first chapter of Colossians. That's St. Paul's letter to the folks at Colossae. In these opening verses, and I'm going to be concentrating primarily on verses 12 to 14, so that if you want to just skim the introduction, as a matter of fact, if you enjoy reading St. Paul's letters, there are 13 of them in the New Testament. And of those 13, 9 of them begin almost exactly the way he begins this letter to the Colossians. He is introducing himself, and he wants it to be very clear to whom he's writing and so on. And these letters, by the way, were handed around to the different congregations there in Asia Minor. As a matter of fact, in some of the letters, he will say, after you finish this letter, hand it on to the other, I think in this case it's the Laodiceans. Now, we don't happen to have that letter. There could be a letter of St. Paul's lost somewhere that hasn't been found as yet, and maybe never will be found. It doesn't matter. We have everything we need to know about in the Bible, everything that we need to know about who we are, where we're going, and what this is all about, and what Christ has done for us, and so on. So don't get too worried about the fact that there may be a missing letter. In fact, there may be more than one missing. Some people think there was a third letter to the congregation at Corinth. The indication in the text seems to indicate that. But I'm getting way off the track here. Let me get back to the point. Paul is writing to the church here in Colossae, and things there are a real mess. Things are a mess there. There were so many false teachings going on. And mind you, this isn't very long after Christ has ascended into heaven. And so right away here in this first century A.D., there was already errors creeping into the Christian church. And the error, interestingly enough, the errors have all been labeled with titles, you know, so that you can refer to them in general. This is Gnosticism. What's fascinating is that now, in 2000, from 2000 to the present time, this is not trying to date the program or anything. I'm simply saying in the opening years of the century of 2000, we have this same heresy known as Gnosticism. As a matter of fact, you go in some bookstores, I hope you don't find this in Christian bookstores. You might. Sometimes the manager don't know for sure what the books are talking about, but you'll find something called the Gnostic Gospels. That's heresy. Those are false teachings, false books that have not been accepted into the canon of the Bible. And so that error keeps repeating itself. Now, what kind of an error was it? Well, it's not too unusual that it would come up again in this present age, because it's an error that deals with man's conceitedness and their pride. The Gnostics thought they knew some inside information. They'd look for little riddles and little sayings, and they'd say, well, this means this, and this means that. You know, they had all kinds of mysterious interpretations. And so the Gnostics, did all kind of things to add to what you need to do to be a Christian. Circumcision was one of those things that they talked about. They said, well, if you want to be really, really sure that you're a child of Christ, you better be circumcised. And they had other little rules. They had all kinds of dietary rules, what you could eat, when you could eat it, and so on, all kind of nonsense like that. Because in this process, and they had a feeling that you had intermediaries. Now, we don't know if they meant the angels or some special type of priests or what they were talking about here, but they felt there was someone that could intercede between Christ and you, that they would kind of take your place and speak up for you and so on. You see, all of this detracted from Jesus Christ being the only and total source of your forgiveness. So it was heresy. It was false teaching. And one of the main things they taught was that material was evil. Anything material. Now that applied to your body. Your body is material. And so they said, well, your body is basically evil. Isn't that horrible that they would teach such nonsense? You know, the body is very good. God created the body. God designed and made the body. Nothing wrong with the body. As a matter of fact, the Christian religion is the only religion in the entire world that teaches that the body is good and that the body will be resurrected from the dead along with your soul. We are a unit, body and soul. And not only will our soul be saved, but also our body. Well, at any rate, when you start to teach that the body is evil, which is so sad, of course there's evil in our body now because of sin. Sin has corrupted our body, so to speak. But when it's cleansed and resurrected from the dead, it'll be a perfect body again, the original way God created it and gave it to us. So when the people in Colossae were thinking that their bodies were evil, it led them into two extremes. On the one hand, some of them became very fanatical. Asceticism, that means they practiced all sorts of things like meditation and, you know, all the woo-woo type stuff, you know, as though they were mystical. And that's where the dieting came in and so on. They felt that your body could somehow be perfected by what you did and how you did it. And so there was that extreme of heresy. On the other hand, there was a group of people there in Colossae that said, well, if our body is evil, what can we do about that? And so they began to be immoral. They said, well, if it's not our fault, it's our body. How can we be held responsible for that? And so they lived in immoral lives. They did anything they pleased, and the corruption was hideous. It was terrible. And so St. Paul, in his introduction to this letter, is trying to wipe out all of those negative thoughts and all of those heretical teachings. And he's trying to bring them back to one solid focus, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why he focuses on this forgiveness. And the source of that forgiveness is Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you, that's important. If you have to get that. And all the way through this letter, you will see he's saying, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, because God has brought you out of darkness into light. That's a favorite saying of St. Paul. He likes that comparison. He said, you've been in darkness, stumbling around, misled, you're lost, and now Christ, who has given you forgiveness, has brought you into the light. Now you can see, now you realize who you are, now you're clear on what you should believe. It's the difference of stumbling around in darkness and finding your way in the light. That's what Christ has done for you. He's revealed the truth of God. His Father in heaven sent him in order to die in our place on the cross. And through him, we have the forgiveness of sins. We are translated. It talks about being changed not only from darkness to light, but there's a number of analogies. He said, you were in slavery. Now think of that. The slave, you were in bondage. You couldn't help yourself. You weren't free. And now in Christ, you've been made free. Just think of that analogy. not only darkness to light, but slavery to freedom. And then, of course, if you've been set free, you know that before you were condemned by God, you were in your sin, you were miserable, there was no way you could hope to be saved because you couldn't get forgiveness. And now through Jesus Christ, you've been given forgiveness, so you're no longer condemned. You're not under condemnation, but now you have the forgiveness of God. This is the fantastic news that is introducing at the beginning of this letter. No longer are you under the power of Satan. Now you are under God's power. Now you are in God's kingdom. It would be probably the first lesson to take away from the beginning of this letter to the Colossians is to realize that anybody that tries to add to what Christ has done or take away from it is detracting from Christ. And what Paul is holding up here so clearly and so visibly and so boldly, he says, Jesus Christ is everything. He is the one that has changed everything in your life. He is the one that has given you forgiveness and put you right with God. He is the one that has given you salvation. He is the one you should give thanks and praise to because your entire life has been changed. And now you're not in slavery anymore. Now you are a free person. And what that means is that you are able to serve Christ. You are able to know that you have the forgiveness of sins, and through it, life eternal. You will be with God forever in heaven. Now that's the message Paul wants to get across to this congregation in Colossae. And if St. Paul were here right now, he would make that same emphasis. He would say, don't accept anything anyone says to detract or take you away from Christ. Anyone who denies the deity of Christ is not a Christian. And he would focus on that and say, be aware, you have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and through that forgiveness, you've been brought into God's kingdom.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.